so many tools and so many easily usable fact sheets, etc. It's really a good site for that kind of information.
And in Portland, Saturday, November 4th, 2 p.m. at the Salmon Street Fountain. That's where it begins in Portland. But go to the website, get more information, get the materials, the fact sheets, the nightmares, because we have 10 of the nightmares that the Trump regime concentrates. And there are different things you could use to make those nightmares into flyers or even sandwich boards. We've been going to the headquarters of Fox News with them here in New York.
That's great. And
it's really eye-opening to people when they see, yeah, they are doing that.
I do recommend that people check you and Cornel West on with Bill O'Reilly. They can go to YouTube, Carl Dixon, Cornel West on Bill O'Reilly. I want to thank you again, Cornel West of the refusefascism.org. That's the website. And I want to thank all of our listeners and our callers. John, I'm sorry we didn't have enough time to get you on. And I want to thank Tammy, our engineer, as always, for making this effortless for us. And goodbye to all of you.
Thank you for having me on, Linda.
It's 10:02. No, it's not. It's 10:00, and you're tuned to KBOO Portland. And if you didn't know it by now, KBOO keeps you informed. And you can get involved. This is community radio, folks. Go to kboo.fm and click on donate if you'd like to become a member of this great station that brings you wonderful conversations. We're going to go to Flashpoints in just a minute. And then at 11 o'clock, we've got the Dirt Bag hosting a discussion today on chippers, pineapple guava, and the Home Orchard Society's All About Fruit show. Thanks for tuning into KBOO today.
Thank you for your pause, for your like, for your click. Thank you for your love, for your care, for your kind.
We want to thank everyone who joined or renewed your membership during our fall membership drive here at KBOO. We came very close to our $105,000 goal. We were within $10,000 of it. If you have not donated, please do so. Go to the website kboo.fm/give. Thanks again for supporting the best radio station on earth, KBOO.
Thank you for your post, for your like, for your click.
Today on Flashpoints, wildfires still burning out of control in Northern and Southern California. Senior producer Miguel Gavila Molina will talk to us. He just lives outside of Santa Rosa. He's got a story to tell. We'll speak also with author and filmmaker Stephen Most, who is at work on a new film called Wilder Than Wild, Fire, Forests, and the Future. And we'll get some other survivor testimony. And guess what? Do you remember the young man, DeAndre, who had his ass handed to him by about 5 or 6 white supremacists? Well, guess what? The guy who almost got beaten to death is facing charges, yeah. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. And, well, this just ripped off the wire. This is actually coming out of L.A. from the Los Angeles Times. The death toll from the Northern California fires continued to rise Tuesday, reaching a confirmed total of 15, as multiple fires scorched upwards of some 100,000 acres. Sonoma County alone has received about 2 200 reports of missing people since Sunday night, and sheriff officials have located 45 of those people, according to a spokesperson for the sheriff's department. The majority of the fatalities are from Sonoma County, where huge swaths of the city of Santa Rosa, this is a city fire out of control, were leveled by the Tubbs fire. 9 people have died in Sonoma County as of 11 a.m. Tuesday. Fleming said, that's the spokesperson for the sheriff, 2 people have died in Napa County, 3 in Mendocino County, and 1 in Yuba County. Well, we're going to talk about the fires. We're going to have some eyewitness accounts, including our own Miguel Gavilan Molina, who has got quite the tale to tell. We're going to get hear from somebody live who doesn't know whether they're coming or going. They told them to leave, then they told them to come back, then they told them to leave. We're going to hear more about that. But let me bring you into this. This is Stephen Most. You've been watching this for quite a while. You've been taking a look. You're working on a documentary about the environment and fires. First of all, your response to this fire, what you see, what you've heard, what you know in terms of the severity and how you see this.
Well, this is actually the worst fire of its kind in California history. The Rim Fire, which we began our film with 4 years ago, burned 250,000 acres in Yosemite and Stanislaus County. Yeah. And we were focused on the forest fire because that one affected the Bay Area. It affected the water and power of San Francisco, burned down Berkeley Family Camp. So we thought that fire would bring urban people's attention to this new kind of wildfire we're having driven by climate change. Well, what has happened instead is that the wildfires have come to us. They've come to a city, and they're having an effect that we haven't seen before. We haven't seen smoke like this in the Bay Area, certainly. We have really hazardous conditions, and this has not ended, Dennis. This is still ongoing.
They're hardly even fighting the fires. They're just trying to save the people at this point and some structures.
That's right. Now, I predicted at the beginning of this year that we would have an extraordinary fire year. And that's because of climate change. That's because of a lot of things that we've been looking at over the last few years.
Well, let's just focus for a moment on the fact that this is a city that caught fire. You alluded to that, but that's huge. Is there another example in recent history where the city went up?
Yes, in fact, in Canada last year is Fort McMurray, I think it was called.
Oh, yes. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. More than 1 million acres burned. That city was leveled. It happened to be highly populated by people working at tar sands. Right. But yes, cities have been destroyed by fires before in recent history.
Wow. So say a little bit more about what you see happening here. How do you explain this in the context of recent history and environmental stuff?
Well, this is an astonishing fire in many respects, and people are wondering how it happened. And this is a very important question because it can continue under similar conditions. Sunday night, we had tornado-style winds, hurricane-style winds, right, reaching 70 miles an hour. This is unheard of. Normally, and we had extraordinarily low humidity at nighttime. Normally, it increases at night. So these are, and of course, high heat for this time of year. So all of these conditions are ripe for a major fire. And of course, there was no lightning, there was no rain. So that means that human beings caused this, but And that explains why we had multiple fires at the same time. The winds took down power lines, those transformers with spark. That's one source of fire. It was a long weekend. People were probably having barbecues. Chainsaws, lawnmowers, all of those things can create sparks that under these wind conditions can spread into virulent fires.
Yeah, Miguel talked about, and we're going to hear that a little bit later, but Miguel talked about that sort of coming over that wind coming over the sort of the little hill there and into Santa Rosa, and it was, in a second, You know, I heard a story. One guy didn't even have time. He dropped his wallet. He didn't have time to pick it up. The fire was moving so fast.
That's right. And it's the spread of the fire that's so powerful. Now, fire, I've learned, is like a liquid. And it needs continuous fuels if it's going to cover a large area in a small time, like these fires did. So part of what we have to realize is that we have too much encroachment of housing among vegetation. And the reason I expected major fires, although, of course, this fire is unprecedented and astonishing, is that we had, after the worst drought in 1,000 years, 5 years of drought, we had the most precipitation in a winter in California, in record. So what does that mean? That means you have a lot of dead trees. You had bark beetle infestation as well as dead trees from wildfires. And then all of that precipitation creates a lot of vegetation. So now we have shorter winters. We have longer fire seasons. It gets very dry and hot, hotter than is normal by about 3 degrees Fahrenheit. And you add to that winds and you have a tinderbox, which in the mountains is very dangerous because people are living up there increasingly. It's called the wildland-urban interface. Well, now we have the urban-wildland interface. We went into the mountains to make a story about a forest fire. The fire has come to us.
Now, again, go over this for us. How would you explain the causes of this fire? Tell us that again. What are the key conditions that would lead to this? And say something about, do they still exist? Are we facing more fires based on where we are now in climate change? You know, have we reached a new point that makes it possible? Can we explain these fires by climate change? How would we do that? How would we understand that?
Well, the cause of these fires, the specific cause of these fires, is under investigation. People are dealing with the fires. So I can only be speculative, but I know that power lines went down. I know that people were out partying over the long weekend. There are all sorts of reasons why there would have been sparks that, under those conditions of wind, could have spread into multiple fires. But to take the long view, we have shorter winters, we have longer, they call them fire seasons, but they're, you know, longer summer. We have hotter temperatures, and we have extreme weather conditions like these extreme winds. Extreme weather is related to climate change. You can't say any one event like a fire or a tornado or a hurricane is related to climate change, but look at the extreme weather we've had. We've had this unprecedented drought of 5 years. We've had the wettest winter on record. I don't think we've ever had 70 mile per hour winds, certainly not in my knowledge, in my lifetime. I'm a elderly Californian. So we have unprecedented conditions, and it's getting worse. The climate is getting hotter, and we're going to see more extremes.
That's the voice of Stephen Most. He is the author of Stories Make the World, Reflections on Storytelling and the Art of the Documentary. He is at work on a new documentary in that regard. The new film is called Wilder Than Wildfire, Forests and the Future. And talk a little bit about the work you're doing now and what is it that you're trying to portray in this new film?
Well, first of all, we have to understand that fire is very much related to what human beings do. There are romantic environmentalists who say fires are natural. It's sort of a John Muir point of view. John Muir didn't understand that California Indians lit the forests in order to maintain them. The forests evolved with fire, and they evolved with human intervention. So we've been afraid of fire. For us urban people, fire is a danger, but also for Smokey Bear, there's no good fire. We have to understand that fire restores forests. It's needed, and fire clears the fuel that allows wildfires to rage over great areas and threaten properties. So fire has gotten out of hand because we've been trying to suppress it, and we need to have a new relationship with fire.
And that's what you're dealing with in the film now?
Exactly.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Mike, let's go with some of that sound from Miguel Gavilo Molina. I spoke with Miguel. Miguel lives just on the outskirts of Santa Rosa. He's been watching this. His son, generally speaking, Falcone, has asthma. So the suffering is acute there. Many people are suffering. You mentioned the smoke, and Miguel talks about the thickness of the smoke. The place essentially disappeared. You know, he was looking out his window, and then all of a sudden there was nothing to see except smoke. So let's listen to what Miguel has to say. He starts off with sort of his initial impression.
Surreal. Almost like a dreamlike, just the devastation, the physical structural devastation to homes and buildings. A war zone. I can't put it any clearer than that. And it's very disturbing. People walking around in semi-shock, even I've been getting phone calls continuously, hourly, from folks and people that I know that want to know information, want to know, you know, if things are all right, what's happening, and so forth. At this point, the fires are still haven't been contained, but with the lack of wind as the factor a couple of days ago that caused this unbelievable firestorm, the wind was up to 60 miles an hour. Well, the wind is calmed. It's died down. And now you have this massive fog. It's almost like one of the worst days in L.A., or for that matter, one of the worst polluted days in Mexico City, where you can't sometimes see across the boulevard or see more than 100 feet. That's the way it is up there. Air quality is terrible. As you know, Dennis Falcón, our go-to guy, you know, on the move, remote broadcast, etc., etc., you know, he has a lot of respiratory issues.